السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما خاب من استخار وما ندم من استشاور، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Salat and salam upon our master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali bin Hussein Zainul Abidin rahimahullah, the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grandson of Hazrat Fatima and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that we used to teach our children the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like we used to teach them the surahs of Quran. And Imam Zuhri rahimahullah, he said that when one studies the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one gets so much of knowledge that there would be knowledge that would benefit him in this world, and there would be knowledge that would benefit him in the hereafter as well. Without a shadow of doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminds us in many places in Quran with regards to the different battles. When it comes to Badr, Allah says the same thing. When it comes to Uhud, and even in the battle which we're going to discuss today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces it by saying to us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That, O people of Iman, remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. In the fourth year of the Hijri, in the month of Shawwal, what we know famously as the Battle of the Trench, Khandaq, or we know it as Ahzab, the battle of the different armies, the confederates, etc., took place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims were victorious. We find that when one analyzes these battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, Allah Pak give every one of us a tawfiq and the ability to have the desire to give every drop of our blood in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one analyzes the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that there's many, many great lessons that we can take. Looking at the Battle of Khandaq as well, we will analyze it, and three or four important things we will speak about, which will be of benefit to us in the dunya and in the akhirat as well. Just a quick preview or background to this particular battle, so that we can appreciate the points. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Munawwara, then he had to deal with the Jewish tribes that were already settled in Madinah Munawwara. They were there for many, many years, etc. And along with them was the Arab tribes as well. So predominantly with regards to the Jewish tribes, there was the Banu Qurayza, the Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qaynuqa. And with regards to the Arab tribes, there was the Aus and the Khazraj. So the Aus and the Khazraj, they welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu, in fact they were the ones who invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they came for the Hajj, etc. And it was very difficult for the Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah, so they had extended the invitation and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that come to Madinah Munawwara, we will create a home for you and we will give you support, etc. On the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to now go into peace treaties and agreements, etc., with the Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qurayza. So what had happened was, there was a murder that had taken place amongst the Banu Nadir. So they called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the pretext of asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to arbitrate a matter of a murder between two people. And the intention was that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to their fort, they would take a boulder and they would assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wahi passed this message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now prepared for them, and he called their people and he said to them, listen, you people got 3 days, you must leave Madinah Munawwara. So long and short of it, they were expelled and they left Madinah Munawwara. And Ami actually, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum Rallahu was left in Madinah Munawwara. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got the Sahaba ready. And they were ready to throw these people out of Madinah Munawwara. So when this happened, after some time, Huyay bin Akhtab, who was from the Banu Nadir tribe, he couldn't take it. He couldn't handle this fact that this is what happened to his people. So he went to the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. So this was shortly after Uhud. So when he went to the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, he saw an opportunity. He saw that they were still burning inside, because they Badr, they were hiding, came to Uhud as well. They thought in Uhud that they would manage to wipe out the Muslims completely, but it wasn't the case. It was a slight setback. Allah's victory was with the Muslims in Uhud, Allah's in Badr, and in Uhud it was just a slight setback for the Muslims, etc. So the Kuffar of Makkah still had this burning desire in them. So he saw this opportunity and he fostered hatred even further. So he said to the Kuffar of Makkah, get your armies ready, we give you support, let us march on Madinah Munawwara. So army of 12,000 gets ready and they march on Madinah Munawwara with the intention of wiping out the Muslims completely. Now the first lesson we would learn from this battle, when this happened and the intelligence reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was par excellence in every field of life, in every department of life, in any category of life. If one wants to analyze, you'll find that there was no person who could match Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, in every regard, our ulama ikram explained to us so beautifully that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just not complete. Actually, he was akmal. He was one better than that also in every department. So he had his people in place, etc. And the information now came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the intention. When this happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called a mashara. He called a mashara with the Sahaba ikram, mutual consultation. So he called the Sahaba ikram. This is the first lesson that we will take from this great victory that the Muslims had earned. That in this amal, this is a great amal and it's known as an amal of nubuwwat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about mashara in Quran as well. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually guided Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every one of us, we are leaders in the home, we leaders in the businesses, in our day-to-day affairs. Every person has a role to play, a role where he leads and a role where he needs to take these different aspects from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apply it in our day-to-day life and see the barakat in our life that would come. So Allah Ta'ala very beautifully in the Quran explains to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he should deal with people. And every one of us, on a daily basis, we interact as human beings. We always interacting with one another, etc. Now look at Islam, its principles, the manner in which we are asked to deal with one another, how Allah Ta'ala instructs us. And think about it for a moment. When these things come alive in the Ummah once again, what a beautiful place the world at large would be to live. Because this was the golden era of the world. They call it the golden era of Islam, but actually it was the golden era of the world. Because those beautiful sifat, those beautiful qualities that were flowing out of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, it lit up the entire world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that how you should interact with the companions. The first advice that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given from Allah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, "Linta lahum," be soft with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبَ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you're going to be hard, difficult, don't know how to speak, you won't speak correctly, you just speak anyhow to people, then they're going to run away from you. لَنْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They will run away from you. So even us, in our daily interaction with people, we need to be soft, we need to speak in a kind way, speak in a good way, exert good akhlaq, good character. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a formula, a beautiful formula to build a nation, and a formula to build and strengthen an ummah. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. People will make mistakes on a day-to-day basis. People will make mistakes. No human being is free from mistakes. They will make mistakes. The Sahaba Ikram, obviously, this was an address to the Sahaba Ikram, but we know Quran is not only restricted to its reason of revelation. The lesson is general, and we will all take benefit from the lesson. So people in our circles, whoever we are dealing with, even if it's the family, the children, the people at the staff, wherever we are, people will make mistakes. Overlook, forgive. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to go one higher also. That in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua maghfirat for the sahaba ikram. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And in matters consult with the sahaba ikram. Consult with the sahaba ikram. So on this occasion of Khandaq, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets the information now, that Makkah is under, Madinah Munawwara is under siege. They're going to attack Madinah Munawwara. He calls up a mashara with the sahaba ikram. And like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who makes istikhara, he'll never be at a loss. And that person who makes mashara, that person who mutually consults, then he'll never ever regret his decision. Now look at the beauty of this mashara of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A sahabi by the name of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes forward in this mashara and he puts forward a suggestion. Now he's not of Arab descent, he's not from amongst the people of Madinah Munawwara, he's not from the people of Makkah Mukarrama, he's from Persia. And when he comes, he puts forward a suggestion, such a suggestion that was it was something that the people of the Arab people were not used to. For the first time in their life, they've never ever done something like that. He gives the suggestion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that let's dig a trench around Madinah Munawwara. Now today, if somebody comes to us and gives us a suggestion, maybe at the workplace or whatever it is, what's our first thing? By what you know, man? I'm in this thing for years. Where you want to come tell me? What he knows? What this fellow knows? Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know how much I got years and years of experience? No. That wasn't the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave us a Salman lano, a hearing, a complete hearing. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw benefit in what he said. And what was beautiful about the sahaba ikram, the manner in which they went about, now this opinion came, the manner in which they went about fulfilling this opinion, that they dug a trench around Madinah Munawwara. Firstly, this was something that was totally foreign to them. They never done this before. Then the trench was 3.5 miles long, according to some riwayat. And the trench was 4.5 meters deep and 9 meters wide. So it was something that wasn't a very, very easy task. But yet, according to some historians, they say in 6 days, the Sahaba Ikram completed this task. You know what it says? It speaks volumes on the maturity of the Sahaba Ikram. That the suggestion that came was something foreign to them completely. Something they never heard of before. But they never took back, or never sat back and had the attitude that, no, that's, he came with these big, big ideas, he must sort it out himself. That's how we are today. You know, it can be anything in life. Somebody comes with something, we won't even give it a hearing. We're not even prepared to see the merits of it. We're so used to being stuck in our ways. Whether it's at masjid level, whether it's at business level, whether it's at family level, whether it's in organizations, whatever it is, these are general advices that we can look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take some lesson. Now while they were digging this trench, some beautiful incidents that took place. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when I read this riwayat, Ustad Raf Hakim makes mention of this riwayat. One would think that I would be prepared to give off whatever I owned, whatever I have, just in exchange for that one moment in the life of Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So there was this debate, this argument that took place. And we also have this from time to time. Sometimes you get love for a particular person. So the Ansar of Medina, they started saying, Salman radiallahu anhu, he's from the Ansar. Remember, he came from Persia. And the Muhajirin said, oh, how can he be from the Ansar? He's our man. He's from, he made hijrat and he came. So he's our man. So this healthy, lovable sort of argument started taking place amongst the Sahaba, you know, because they had love for him. And what a statement Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. What a beautiful statement. Wallahi, brothers, I'm sure every one of us would be prepared to part with whatever we own. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. Salman is from me, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's the first lesson with regards to mashara. Then a second point is this, that Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he was sitting with the Sahaba Ikram, he was sitting with some of the Tabi'in, and when I read this riwayat, I got very, very happy, because actually what we're doing now, we can say is the sunnah of the Sahaba Ikram as well. He says that he was discussing few of the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, sometimes in life, we have an attitude that we feel somebody did something, we'll never appreciate it. So they say, the second lesson we'll take is this, Always appreciate what somebody did. Never have the attitude that we could do it better. So he says, we were sitting with the Sahaba, we were sitting with his Tabi'in, and he was mentioning some of the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one person made a statement, or a few people sitting with him, they made a statement. But they said, if we were there, فَعَلْنَا كَذَا وَكَذَا, we would have done it like this, and we would have done that. So Hazrat Huzaifa Al-Anu got very upset. He said, listen, think very carefully what statement you are making. Talk is cheap. It's very easy to talk and say, somebody did some action, somebody did something, they went. Very easy to sit and say, you should have done and you should have done. He said, let me tell you something, my brother. It's very, very easy for you to sit back now and speak. Let me tell you about the battle of Khandaq. Let me tell you about Ahzab. He said, things were so difficult in that battle that there was a time, 3 days at the time, Sahaba Ikram were not eating. He says, there was one night. Let me tell you about one night alone of that battle. It's very easy to sit now and speak and say, if you were there, you would have done this and you would have done that. See, the most bitterly cold night of my life. I never experienced a more severe night than that night of Ahzab. You see, the night was so black, such a pitch black night, that if you had to put your hand in front of your face, you see, I swear by Allah, you couldn't count the fingers on your hand. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes an announcement that who is there that wants to be my companion on the day of Qiyamah, stand up, come to me, and then go to the enemy lines and bring some information. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this announcement, nobody stood up. He said, by Allah, I'm telling you, it was so cold, I had one piece of cloth on only on my body. He said, that piece of cloth, barely I was trying to cover my body. When I would cover my body, it would just be over my knees. He said, it was so cold, I never experienced a night like that in my life. He says, second time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that announcement, that who is there that will stand up, come to me and go to the enemy lines and bring some information. He says, nobody stood up. He says, it's easy to talk, we would have done. See, a third announcement was made. Who wants to be my companion on the day of Qiyamah? Stand up and go and get information for me. He says, nobody stood up. This wasn't disobedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was such a... The point he was making was, it was such a difficult night. It's easy now to talk so many years later. He says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to me. And he said, oh Hudhaifa, stand up. He says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to me, oh Hudhaifa, stand up. He says, by Allah, I was the most frightened of all the people. He said, I felt so cold that I stood up. And I actually had to crouch my body, I had to bring my body to a small point to stand in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen to what was the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, it was so cold and I was absolutely scared. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Hudhaifa, go into the enemy lines and go and bring back information for me. He says, by Allah, when I left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I felt a warmth come through my body. He says, and that fear had disappeared. And when I left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make dua for me. Allahumma ahfadhu min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi wa an yaminihi wa an shimalihi. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me. He made dua that Allah protect Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Protect him from his right, protect him on his left, protect him from above, protect him from beneath. And he says, when I went to the enemy lines, I went and abstracted the information, such information I brought. He says that I heard Abu Sufyan speaking. I didn't know who was Abu Sufyan. But then I came to realize who was Abu Sufyan. I heard him speak. And I realized that Allah had given us victory. I heard him say that we cannot stay here anymore. Let us pack our things and go. There's no way that we can face Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his army. He says, I took out my arrow and had a clear shot. And I said, this is my opportunity. But he says, the words rang in my ear that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me only for information. That was it. This was Sahaba Ikram brothers. Complete obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says he comes back and he gives the information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what we have heard, that the kuffar are now retreating and they're leaving and making their way back to Makkah Mukarramah. So that's the second lesson. Like I said, the first is that we consult in our affairs. The second is appreciate what anybody does. It's very easy to talk, very easy to say, if we were there, we would have done. If we were there, we would have handled it like this. Those people were there, they know what they did, they know the difficulties that they had to face. They know the difficulties and they know what they had to undergo. The third thing is this, brothers. And if we want barakat in our life, we take the example of Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that this digging of the trench was carrying on. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I come to the story of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he started digging the trench, he said some words, some beautiful words. He began, he said, Bismillahi wa bihi badayna, walau abadnahu ghayrahu shaqayna. He said, we begin digging the trench in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a beautiful lesson he taught us. That everything we do, begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, if we had to worship anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would most certainly have destroyed us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the Sahaba ikram digging. And their enthusiasm was such that they had such fervor to please Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whilst they were digging this trench, they were very, very hungry. 3-4 days at a time, there was no food. So the Sahaba ikram started singing these couplets. نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. That we are the people who have taken the bayat on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we will strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till our death comes. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy, he gives a response to this, and he says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds and he says they say these couplets that نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. That, oh Allah, there's no rest for us. The only rest we are going to get is the rest in the qabr. Allahumma ghfir al-ansar wal muhajir. That, oh Allah, forgive the ansar and the muhajir. Forgive them. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua for the maghfirat. And whilst digging, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says these beautiful words to remind us that the deen that we have, this salah that we're reading, this zakah that we are giving, all these great opportunities of pleasing Allah that Allah has blessed us with, Nabi Sassam once again reminds us. He says, Wallahi, lawla Allahu mahtadeena, wala tasaddaqna, wala tasallina. That if it was not for Allah Ta'ala who had guided us, it was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had blessed us with hidayat, then we would have never had the opportunity of performing salah. We have never had the opportunity of spending 1 cent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So the Sahaba ikram were digging. So was a Jabir who said that I noticed for 3 days Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadn't eaten. And we all know the famous incident. They came across a boulder. So nobody could break this boulder. They were trying. Eventually they called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In 3 shots, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam busted the entire boulder. The first time when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit the boulder, then sparks flew and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a statement and he said that we've conquered Rome. And the second time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the sparks flew, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Persia has also been conquered. And the third time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Yemen is also ours. So this was the patient goy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had seen. Allah Ta'ala showed it to him that a time is going to come that the Muslims are going to conquer these lands. So as a Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I noticed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 3 days he hadn't eaten. And Sahaba ikram were very, very hungry. When they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how hungry they were, when they lifted their kurta, one stone was tied to their body. They say the Muarrikhin explained when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his, 2 stones were tied. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is what we need to revive in our communities and ummah once again, he went home. So when he went home, he said to his wife, he said, listen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't eaten for 3 days. Tell me whatever food you got, let's prepare it and let me invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his wife said to him, listen, all we have is one sa, it's about 3.5 kilos of wheat, and we have one kid goat, a small goat. If I prepare this meal, we'll feed about 6 people. Go quietly, whisper in the ear of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and bring him and tell him, bring few companions with him, I'll prepare the meal. And she warns him, she says, I'm warning you when you're going, O Jabir, don't embarrass me. Bring only 6 people and come. I don't have more food than that. Now you know when like they say, the wizaratul dakhiliya, the home minister, when she gives an order, then even the giants of giants make sure he complies. So when he comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he invites Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, how much food you got? Tell me what you have. He said, I got one sa of wheat, 3.5 kilos of wheat to prepare some bread, and I got one kid goat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is sufficient. 1,000 sahaba, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes elan. He says, everybody come, we're going to eat by Jabir Anu's house. Now he got worried. He rushed home. When he came home, his wife said to him, you see, I told you, I warned you. And she was a very intelligent woman. She asked him, she said, tell me, did you explain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did you tell Rasulullah how much food we have? He says, yes, I said to Rasulullah, this is what we have. And she said, and he said to his wife that Nabi Sallallahu said, this would be sufficient for us. She said, if that's the case, then don't worry, this food would be sufficient. Nabi Sallallahu came, he mixed his Mubarak saliva with the wheat, with the bread, took a cloth and he covered the meat. And he said to the Sahaba Ikram, come in groups. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself fed the Sahaba Ikram. Jabir Anu says that every one of them, there was over 1,000 Sahaba, everybody ate to his full. He said there was food that was left over as well. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said to me that now go and you feed your family as well. So brothers, this has to once again come alive. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala puts great barakat. And one ajeeb point is this, that before this was very prevalent in our communities. Wherever you'll go, you'll always hear of those two or three people that they would find a person that came from out of town or whatever the case is, and they would always invite him and say, boy, come home to eat, whatever the case is. That was because we kept things simple. Jabir al-Anu was calling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam home. There was no concern now whether the tablecloth is matching with a cloth, whether the curtain is matching with the overlay, and whether he's got the right smelling, what you call, tissue to be used afterwards, and whatever the case is. Today, because we've moved away from simplicity, we moved into this direction, that if you have a simple, we say, how can we call people? How can I give? No. Open our hearts and open our, whatever it is, even if it's butter bread, even if it's butter bread. But the barakat of sharing our meal with the guest, Allah brings barakat in our home. Imagine a guest comes home. What du'as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. If the guest forgets to make the du'a, that's there. But definitely the barakat of it would be there. Allahumma barik lahum fima razaqtahum waghfir lahum warhamhum. Allah Ta'ala give them barakat in the sustenance that you have given them. Allah forgive them. Allah have mercy on them. Akala ta'amakum al-abrar wa salat alaykum al-malaika wa aftar innakum al-sa'imun. May the pious eat your food. May the iftar, people that are fasting make iftar in your home. May the malaika make dua for you. Allahumma atim man amana wa asqi man saqana. Allah give to eat that person that has given me to eat. Allah give to drink that person that has given me to drink. So these are barakat that we cannot afford to be lost. Once again, we need to bring this alive, my respected brothers. So three simple things we learn from this battle. One is mashara consult. Alhamdulillah, wherever we go in all the masajids, in terms of our deen, mashara takes place in the morning, begin our day like that. Then we go home and we extend it. Make mashara with the family, what are we going to do for the day. Then you go to your business, you call your people in, how are we going to work for the day. Guaranteed you'll see barakah in your life. Second thing is appreciate the affairs of everybody. Not everybody, everybody cannot do what we can do, and we cannot do what everybody else can do. Somebody may do it in a different way, but the result inshallah will be good if we appreciate it. And the third thing is, feed the people. If we do this, Allah Ta'ala will bring barakah in our home. And I'll end with this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua, and upon that dua Allah Ta'ala brought the victory. It's a simple dua, but bring it in our life and make dua daily. Because even in the duas of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has kept great lessons. Short dua, but see the benefit of it. Allahumma astur awratina. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin ru'atina. Ya Allah, cover our faults. Brothers, we all got faults. Nobody is free from faults. No person should ever think for a moment that I'm free of faults. It is Allah's kindness, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kind favor upon us that Allah ta'ala hides our faults. So here's a dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, hide our faults. And ya Allah, remove that which is a source of fear for us, remove it. So remove our fears and ya Allah, cover our faults. May Allah give us all the